you know, when we read the Bible, we find that the Bible has more information about people doing wrong and how to correct it than we see of people doing right and maintaining it. We find that the God of the Bible is not the God that just is so much in love with us that he can be treated any kind of way. We find that the God of the Bible demands relationship based upon love, but he gets to define that love. And when people move outside of the realm of what God wants, they become his enemy. They begin to fight against the living God. Something that David found to be quite detestable during the time when Goliath would come up and run that mouth. Send me out of man that I may fight with him. And the thing that came to David's mind and the words that passed his lips and went into the ears of his brothers and made them angry was, who is this uncircumcised Philistine defying the armies of the living God? And so we can look in the Bible and find that that was something magnanimous for David to say. It wasn't over and above. It was what should be said. However, we can find ourselves in the position of Goliath without even knowing it. We can find ourselves an enemy of the living God, which is a terrible place to be. And Nahum said, God is vengeful. It says he fights against his adversaries. Well, we're not teaching Nahum now. Our subject for today is, what are the results of resisting the devil? The reason that I chose that title, what are the results of resisting the devil, is because of one scripture in James chapter 4. That scripture in James chapter 4, it says something to me that's amazing. Listen to what it says in James 4 and 4. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not, or in regular English today, don't you know that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Woo! Do you feel that over there, Pop? If by some means that you become a friend, comfortable, you're able to commune and have fellowship with the world in such a way that they do not understand or they can't feel God's presence so much that you are one of them in their eyes, you have become an enemy of the living God. Now, there's a remedy for that given in the same passage, verse 7. And can you read that for me? Will you read it? I know you can.
Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
That's where our topic came from. This scripture has so much promise in it that if we can just do this one thing, you know how they take Romans 10:9-10 and say that's the whole gospel? I'll take this one verse, and if we can do this one thing, we'll make it into God's eternal kingdom. We'll be totally walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, but that scripture demands that you know what God wants. It demands that you know how to resist. It demands a whole lot. But let's unravel some of this. Submit yourself to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. In other words, put yourself up under his jurisdiction. Not what you think, not what the world says, because if you are a friend of the world, it will make your decisions. You can't submit to the world and submit to God. You can't do it. You can't have two masters. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Then, automatically, you will be resisting the devil. But just in case you don't know, it will automatically happen. As you are making your mind up to submit to God, make your mind up to resist the devil and his worldly system. And what did the Word of God say? And he will flee from you. Let's go to what we got up here on the board. What are the results of resisting the devil? Number one, it will keep you from being God's enemy. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 14, you are my friend if you do whatever I command you. That's submitting to God. You're his friend. Abraham was his friend. He was the friend of God. And to this very day, we are blessed because Abraham was a friend of God. The Bible talks about it so explicitly wonderful when we read in the book of Hebrews chapter 6. God liked Abraham so much, God made Abraham a promise. And because there was no greater, he swore by oath by himself, I'm going to do this for you. Wouldn't you want to be the friend of God? It keeps you from being God's enemies. Number two, it removes his influence. And if you will, read verse number one, please, of chapter four.
From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members?
Read on.
Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not.
You're not operating under the Prince of Peace. You're not operating on God's system. If it were operating on God's system, why would you fight one another? Why would you have these desires and lust within your members, desire to conquer, desire to be in charge over people? You desire to have, you can't, and you fight and you war. There is something going on. You are listening to the world system. You are listening to yourself. You are not following God, the same God that said, blessed are the peacemakers, the same God that tells you, why can't you suffer something from each other as Paul taught? You're doing all of these things and you're desiring and want more and more and you can't have it. Why is that? Read some more of the Word of God that's so precious in my sight. Verse three. Yes, ma'am.
Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust.
You're interested in the things of your desire. You're interested in the things that you want. You do ask. You do ask. But you ask it so that you can have what you want. It doesn't seem like you and your family are asking for the things that benefit and glorify God. You're not asking, how can I follow your commandment? You're not asking how I can walk with you, God. You ask amiss. And when you live like that, it shows up in your walk, and they'll call you a carnal Christian, and they say that you're saved anyway, and they'll say that you just need to repent. But I submit to you before the Lord God Almighty, who is blessed forever. Amen. That verse 4 will tell you what James think about those kind of people. Read it for me.
Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?
I submit to you that when James keeps saying you lust and you desire to have and you can't have and could not obtain, that Paul said in Colossians chapter 4, I believe it is, when he talks about it, it's either 4 or chapter 3 and 4, it tells you that covetousness is idolatry. And when an individual start coveting and wanting things that they should not have, wanting things from others and want to struggle for it, that idolatry causes one to be an adulterer. You don't all the time have to lay up with somebody to be an adulterer. But you find that you can get your comfort and joy and your peace from something else other than God. I submit to you that he said you adulterers and adulteresses what now? Friendship.
Know not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God.
Yes.
Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
When you are a friend of the world, you are under the influence of Satan. It doesn't matter if it happened consciously or unconsciously. He says if you are a friend of the world, he didn't say whether it's conscious, you can be seduced into walking away from God. That's what God told Joshua in that first chapter. He said, don't you turn your head to the left, don't you turn your head to the right, that you may observe to do all that I command. I'm not asking you, I'm telling you what to do. I run this show. When you find yourself being seduced by this world, songs, friends, family, if I live like God said, they won't like me. Friendship with them is the enemy of God. Read some more of the sweet word of God that I love so well.
Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to enter?
The spirit that dwells in mankind, the scripture says it lusteth, it desires to envy. It desires to have more and more. It desires, even in the days of Eve, to take God's place, to take God's authority, to have that which we should not have. We went through the kings and saw people desire this position and kill people, etc. We do the same thing. Somebody got influence, we'll lie on them. Somebody in the family doing well, we don't like it. We got something bad to say about them. I submit to you that the spirit that's in us is wrong. Unless the Spirit of God takes over. Read some more of the sweet word of God.
But he giveth more grace.
God gives more grace. This doesn't mean God give you grace to keep living like you want to. No. This is a part of what he's getting ready to say. So read the rest of it so we don't take it out of context.
Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble.
James has enfolded this thing on Ruby in such a way, it's like opening up an envelope to see what's in it. James said, if you did lust and you desire to have and you can't obtain and you want, that you were proud. He didn't just pull pride out of the hat. He's given a complete thought. And he says, let me tell you something, my dear friend. God resists the pride. Let me tell you, if you don't get this right, when you're the enemy of God and God resists you, there is no one that can make God relent. Ann was talking to me before I got ready to start teaching this little passage that I wanted to teach right here about Saul and his wickedity. And now it's coming to fruition, as my Uncle Roger say, to fruitation, which is fruition. What it is was that Samuel was told to stop praying for him. I have rejected him. I have resisted him. Samuel, you are my man. You've been my man since you were a lad. But you can't stop me from resisting him. He is not replaced in my sight. I don't care. He didn't obey me, and he told you to go out and make me look good in front of the people and worship. I don't accept his worship anymore. You don't want to be in a position that you're lust and desire to have like he did those sheep. And to have those things, and to have power, and to have authority, and more than what God wanted him to have. God resisted him. But he gave grace to a little boy. Yeah. A little dude out there with the sheep that his brother didn't think that much of. Oh, you don't want me to talk, but he can give us that kind of grace. Read some more of the sweet word of God that I love so well.
Submit yourselves, therefore, to God.
Submit. Put yourself under the yoke. Bow down. You are my friend if you do what I command you. You are my friend if you submit. Take my yoke upon you. I'm on one side, you on the other. I'm helping you. Submit to God and what?
Resist the devil.
Resist that, as my daddy called him, sapsucker's a little bird. I used to think he was cussing. Sapsucker's a little bird. Resist that little thing that keep flying and pecking and getting your attention. Resist the devil and
he will flee from you.
That's the result of resisting the devil. It removes his influence. It keeps you from being God's enemy. It removes you from being in rebellion. If you're consciously in rebellion, being a friend of the world, or if it's unconscious. If you are in rebellion, if you're a friend of the world, you are outside of God's will. You're in rebellion. And it opens the path to fellowship. Read on.
Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you.
Yes.
Cleanse your hands, ye sinners.
The Bible makes this promise that if you draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. The path is open. Daddy, the path is open. There was a time when they couldn't go into the Holy of Holies. There was a time they didn't have a path. They had to have somebody go in there for them with the emblems on their shoulder, with the 12 tribes written on it, with the jewels on their chest. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. That's a result of resisting the devil, that the almighty, powerful God will draw nigh to you now and stop being your enemy, and he'll stop resisting you. That's the grace that he gives. The grace that he gives is when you do what he says the way that he says do it. Read some more of the blessed word of God, Andrina.
Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded.
When you draw nigh to God, now you're in the position of cleansing yourself and submitting to God. You doing what he said. It's not that I just say I submit. There's a work to be done. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Get rid of your double-minded state. Part of the world and part of God. You're not going to be my enemy and my friend. God don't work it like that, like families do. Mm. Please read some more of the sweetest word of God that I love so well.
Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness.
When you cleanse your hands and you purify your hearts and you make decisions to not be double-minded, the world will stop loving you. They'll stop liking you. Put you in a position to be punished like all of the prophets from Abel to Zechariah, the son of Barakiah, who was slain between the altar like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, like his apostles were. You will put yourself in a position of being punished because they hate God. But the punishment that comes from the world is nothing, because now you realize you're not being punished by God. You're not being afflicted by God. You're being tested. So when the things come, you can understand what's happening, that God is testing your mettle to make you an example to the world of what he can do. You have become the salt of the earth. Read the last verse there.
Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up.
The result of resisting the devil is that you stop being resisted by God, and God elevates you. He lifts you up. He makes you strong. He is the one that sets you up where you need to be. You don't have to lust no more. You don't have the desire to have. You don't have to fight. You don't have to war, because God is lifting you up. The very place you were trying to go, he put you there. God is the one that lifted you up. And when he lifts you up, there's not a man alive that can put you down. If they put you down and put you in the grave, just like our Lord Jesus raised up, yes, you'll be able to get up. We're never going to put Stephen down. He said, I've seen the heavens open, seen the Son of God sitting on the right hand of the Father. Do you want it? Do you want it? That's the result. That's the result of resisting the devil. You stop being God's enemy, you become his friend. You remove the devil's influence so that God will resist you more. It removes you from being in rebellion to God Almighty, which is the same as witchcraft, whether it's conscious or unconscious. It opens a wide door of fellowship. You draw nigh and he draw nigh. Whereas before he was resisting, he was away from you. Now he's drawing nigh. It causes an individual to be now the enemy of the world instead of God. And they will attack, but that's not you being punished by God. That's your testing. It's your testing. Now, when you see that you're being tested and it not punished, then it ought to make you have joy. Because when you're living wickedly and something happens, you always wonder if you have any sense, am I being punished? When you know you're doing like God said, you know you're tested. And it causes one to be exalted. Resisting the devil, resisting the influence that he uses by the world system, by your friends and family that are not interested in God, will put you in a position where you're trying to be lifted up by those other people to be brought down low, resisted by God, and become his enemy. When you do it his way, you submit to God, the devil flees, you draw nigh to God, the path is open, and he'll exalt you and lift you up. You may be lifted up in the eyes of God, which is the most beautiful place to be, but understand something. That doesn't mean that you lifted up in the eyes of the world. We're going through the life of Moses. He's not lifted up in the eyes of Pharaoh till one day. But in God's elevation, he was already lifted up the first time he went back. Blessed the Lord's everlasting name. Father, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your truth. I just ask you to allow us to realize we need to learn to resist the devil, so that we can have the benefits that your servant James wrote about. We ask this in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus the Christ. Amen.